Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And today's guest is somebody that I am so excited about because her brother, Mickey Smith, was a guest some time ago. Yes, go scroll down and listen to him. And he did a flow chart as a love letter, and it was just brilliant. It wasn't intended as the love letter, but it certainly served. And from this flow chart of good things that happened to him, I learned about his sister, Lizzie, who was a swimmer. Well, I didn't know. That was just the tip of the iceberg. So Lizzie's here today, and a swimmer is an understatement. So may we just go to you, Lizzie Smith.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me today.
Tell me, you were talking before about when you started swimming.
So I started swimming when I was 7. Did not fall in love with it first time I touched the water. I made it 15 minutes into my first practice and got out and quit.
What did you dislike about it, and what were the expectations?
I did not like, all the kids knew what they were doing.
Oh, it was a group thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was my first swim practice with the team.
And oh, wait a minute. So you're saying that's your first swim practice with the team. We haven't gotten the team yet.
Oh, my first time in the water?
Yes. When did you learn to swim?
Oh, I was probably 4 or 5.
And did you like that?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. What I had a lot of fun with was taking on the challenge. I wanted to be the first one in the group that could put my face in the water, blow bubbles.
Okay, so you didn't quit your first lesson. So it was this. How did you get on the team? And what team was it?
It was a Catalina swim team. Mm-hmm. It was just a small club pool. It was right behind my house, actually.
Where was this?
It's in Muncie. It's called Catalina.
Oh, Catalina, because you said that, and I'm thinking of Catalina off of Los Angeles, and I knew that.
Yeah. Not quite there. Still Midwest.
Okay.
My brother right above me swam. And so my parents were already driving back and forth to the pool to meets. And so they threw me and my little sister in the water, too.
Okay. And did you like being on a swim team? Tell us how that went and what that led to. And because what I heard, and it just stunned me because I was so impressed, was that you were in Rio swimming and you have a silver medal.
I do.
That's amazing to me because I didn't know it. But go ahead. So lead up to that.
Okay. So I quit my first time. Then the next year, my dad bribed me to give it another shot with pizza. So I got back in the water. And then it's been an ever since thing. That's just been my life. I started Paralympic swimming when I was...
Now, what is, just for people who don't know, what is Paralympics?
Oh, Paralympics is for athletes with a disability.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
I
yours
have,
is?
I have one hand,
mm-hmm.
and that's from birth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a thing I've always had, and this is all I've known, so I don't view it as a disability
right.
at all.
Yes, of course.
I learned about that when I was 12, went to my first meet. I had no idea what it was about.
Who introduced you to Paralympics? If you remember, I don't know.
So I saw... On Disney Channel, mm-hmm. they did a Check This Kid Out thing.
Oh.
And they featured she's now one of my best friends, Jessica Long. They featured a thing on her. And so I watched her swim with no legs. And then I was Googling it, and I realized, like, this is a thing. And then I started looking at American record, world record, what it would take to go to the games.
For the Paralympics.
Yeah, for the Paralympics. And I remember being so excited, like, I'm only 12 seconds off of American record. 12 seconds, and so that's a lot.
Yeah, sure, but still.
And then I think by the time I was 15,
mm-hmm.
I had broken all the ones
wow.
that I was looking at.
Because you just kept at it and kept at it?
Yeah.
Good for you.
And then in 2012, I moved to Florida from Muncie and trained there for 6 months.
On your own? I mean, you went there for training?
Yes, for training. And I started a new high school, and one of my older sisters, Robin, she became my legal guardian.
Okay.
So I could do that.
Because you can't just put a kid on a plane to Florida and say goodbye.
You can
try. Right. Yes. Okay.
And then I missed that team, the London team, by not very much, but I had the meat of my life for trials. So I was happy with that. I didn't view it as a defeat. And then it was cool this time around for Rio. All I had to do was kind of compete at trials, and I knew I had a spot from the previous work that I've put in the past four years.
So if you're doing this, if you're in this life, then it's clear to you what the opportunities are. I mean, you know where the meets are, and you know what the process is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a second language to me now, where I'm sure if some stranger heard me talk about swimming, they would have no idea what I'm talking about.
So what are the kinds of things that are second language to you that we wouldn't know what you're talking about?
Oh, I'll talk about stroke rate, body position, mm-hmm. The different meets that I have. Or even in Paralympics, there's definitely a language, like for each classification. So it goes from S1 to S14.
What are those?
S1 through S10 is your disability, a physical disability. Mm. So it's based off severity. So uh-huh. I'm a 9. That's the second least severe physical disability.
What's the least severe?
That's kind of like if you're missing a hand, like at the wrist.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, yes. Real minimal. And then one, S1 swimmers, it's kind of, I've seen swimmers with no arms.
So it's just a matter of how much of a limb you might be missing.
Yeah.
And would you be paired with people with similar physical attributes?
Yes.
To make things more even?
Yeah, that's what they try to do.
I see.
So I swim against athletes missing one limb. So it could be an arm or a leg, usually. And then, depends on the stroke, sometimes arm amps have the advantage. Sometimes leg amps have the advantage. So it's an interesting world to be in, for sure.
And so you came home with a silver.
A silver and a bronze, yes.
And a bronze. Can you tell us about that? And
that. I'll talk about the day I won silver.
Please.
Because that was a very emotional day. So it was, I think, the 7th day of competition. So I've already been in Rio at that point.
Did you go by yourself with your team or with your family or what?
Yes, with my team.
Okay.
And so it was a long process. I left for Houston, I can't remember the dates. But I was gone for about 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And we had a camp in Houston. And then we're in Rio for 20 days. So it's a long time to be away from your family mm-hmm. and in such an emotional environment. And so I was towards the end of competition, and that was my biggest day. I had 100 butterfly in a relay. And 100 butterfly, that was my favorite event. I was supposed to medal in that.
Was that your favorite? What does that call for that you can do well?
I was supposed to medal. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to get on the podium.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so prelims, I win my heat. I'm seated 3rd going into finals. Then I swim the race, and I got 4th by 1/100th of a second. Mm. It was the most defeating feeling I've ever experienced. And it stung. It stung for a second, but then I knew I had 2 choices. I could let that defeat me, or...
What was the defeat? That it wasn't gold?
The defeat was more that I told myself, I'm getting on that podium in this event.
Uh-huh.
And just that I projected it so much, and then I watched it not happen by the closest amount. That's something that could not happen, 1/100th of a second.
Yes.
I was stunned. And then I had to get out of the water and go do an interview. I had no idea what to say. Just my whole world was, whoa. It was a weird feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But I took it in for a second. I felt sad. I cried. We have a 5-minute rule. We have 5 minutes to be upset, and then it's done.
Good.
Because you can't let that affect the rest of your races or your teammates.
Oh, yes.
And then I also had another relay that night. So I learned from that race, and then 2 hours later, I got to be on the relay, which was, I wasn't originally going to be on that relay, but because my swim the night before was really good, they put me on the relay, and then I went a best time, mm-hmm. medaled on the relay, and it kind of erased the sting of the 4th. And knowing that my teammates and my family, they still supported me so much.
Sure.
And
yes. And so you're there. Have you made friends, obviously, that will be lifetime friends from this?
Oh, yes. Definitely lifetime friends. The best friends I've ever had. We still talk. A lot of them every day almost.
Uh-huh.
We'll FaceTime. And it's nice
to... Will you go back? Will you do it again?
Yes, I'll do it again. It's hard to taste it once and not want to do it again. And especially being in Tokyo.
Is that when the next one will
be? Yeah, 2020 in Tokyo.
You've got your eye already. Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. I have my eye.
Is it annual or just when the Olympics is?
When the Olympics is.
So it's every
4 years.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, it's 2 weeks right after the Olympics.
And what do you do meanwhile in swimming?
What was that?
What do you do in between? You're in local meets and races and...
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And then we also have world championships. We have that every... So 2017 and 2019.
So every other year.
Yeah, every other year.
Uh-huh.
There's a world championships.
Okay. So and you then, could be a swimmer all your life and be, yes.
Yeah, you can. But the challenge is that it's such a demanding sport. I'm worried about getting burnt out. So that's what, right now I'm taking a little step back from it, and I want to explore this sport in other ways that I haven't before, like swimming in the bay every morning
instead
of a pool.
Okay. Have you done that yet at all? That's freezing cold water, isn't it?
It is freezing, and that's the part that I'm excited for but a little scared for.
Yes. Do you surf or anything else?
I haven't. You know, I'm from the Midwest, so
that's right.
Very flat.
Yes. Yes. So swimming in the bay. Okay.
Yeah, I want to give it a shot. I think it will help me find a new love for the sport again, just in a different way than swimming in a pool and staring at a black line for hours and hours.
Yes. Now, do you ever think about teaching swimming to children?
I have thought about that.
Critical as that is, because we were talking before, you have got to learn early to swim for safety.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. It's definitely a thing everyone should know how to do. And, yeah, I'd really like to teach other kids how to swim.
That's such an obvious thing to do if you're good at it.
Yeah, it is. Yes. So I've been a lifeguard before, and my problem with that is I get bored really easily.
Yes.
So I was up on the stand, and I would just zone out, which is not a thing a lifeguard should do.
That's right.
So then I kind of said I wanted to do something more hands-on, more creative for a job.
Mm-hmm. So tell us what you do.
Right now I'm dabbling in graphic design. So I really love designing logos and websites.
Did you know as a child that that was a talent of yours?
I knew I wanted to be an artist.
Oh, you did? Okay.
That was the thing I've always wanted to be.
Isn't that nice? We live in a world where that's marketable now.
Yes, absolutely. And it's really encouraging, actually, because I remember friends in middle school and high school, they'd be like, well, I'm happy I'm more of a left-brain person because I'll be successful. And that hurt. I was like, what are you talking about? And so it's nice. I am presented the opportunity to prove them wrong.
Good. Oh, well, you've done that already by being a swim champ, because how many people are swimming champions? I mean, you seem to rise to kind of rare atmospheres anyway. Most people are not in swimming competitions and winning silver medals and things. So you kind of are a rare group anyway.
Yeah, that's very true. It's such a rare group that I forget that it's rare.
Yes, because your own life is the wallpaper.
Right.
I know. But for others to look at you. Oh, I'm so glad we've met. Now, I wanted to ask you a question because I met your brother, who I just am totally in love with. And I didn't realize, well, I knew that there was you, and I knew that from this bad experience he had, that he ended up getting closer with you and with your dad, and a whole bunch of good things came from the bad thing. And what I didn't realize was you had told me before this, that he had moved out when you were really young.
Yes.
So talk about that, because I didn't realize that there was that age difference.
Oh, yeah. So we're 10 years apart. He moved out kind of right away. I think he was 18, so I was 8.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember much at all from before 8.
But was that sad for you when he moved out, or were you not? Did that seem just normal?
It seemed normal. Yeah, I watched my oldest sister and then my brother before that, them move out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mickey moving out was just part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize, like, so Mickey lived in Germany for a while, so it kind of became the normal to not see Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
That we knew Mickey was always up to something, and every once in a while I would hear from him, but not that often. So this is the first time that Mickey and I are really getting to know each other.
Now, for people listening, it's because you moved to San Francisco and you're staying with him until you find a place.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Living with Mickey in a one-bedroom apartment with another roommate, so lots of bonding time.
What are you learning about him that you didn't know?
Oh, he never gets bored. He never lets himself get bored.
Yes.
He's always running around. I think I've seen him sleep once the whole time I've been here.
My goodness. So, but you can see that there's something always interesting going on in his head.
Oh, there definitely is.
And he's one of the world's best teachers.
He is.
Yes.
And there's always something going on in his head. And what makes him special is that he acts on it immediately. He goes and does something about it. Which is a really good thing for me to learn, because I have a lot of ideas, but then I notice myself just sitting on them, and then I wasted a day just thinking about an idea. So it's really nice to learn from Mickey that you have an idea, do it. Why are you scared to do it?
Now, I have a question for you, because I tend to get into love letters quickly.
Okay.
And I always ask, who gets your love letter today?
Oh.
So if you were to write one right now, keeping in mind that love letters are for any kind of gratitude, any kind of affection, for inviting people into your life, for seeing people lovingly out of your life. One woman years ago wrote a love letter to the man that she was going to marry. She hadn't met him yet. Mm-hmm. But she wanted to write a love letter with all the qualities she knew he would have. And she wrote it and sealed it and stuck it in her drawer. And when she meets him, she's going to hand it to him. So it doesn't matter what the love letter is. Do you have something that you'd like to say to someone? And I can see a ton of them because of your success and Olympics and teammates and coaches.
I guess.
And family and yourself.
I would write, I could do that. I think I would write a love letter to all the people that have presented me with opportunities.
Ah.
Like Mickey's presented me with a great opportunity by helping me move out here, which is great. I love San Francisco. And then my coaches.
How many coaches do you have?
I have one in Baltimore, mm-hmm. and then my club coach that I grew up with and swam with him for 11 years.
Oh, so, okay. What was Muncie. Baltimore?
Baltimore, so that was probably my favorite time of my life, was living in Baltimore.
About that. And did you do that by yourself? I mean, without your parents?
That was kind of my first thing of doing by myself, taking complete control of what
How
I wanted
were you?
To do. I was 18.
Okay, so you were grown. Okay,
yeah.
So what happened and why did you go there?
So I graduated high school a year early and moved to Florida to train. And that was all I talked about through high school. It's like, just make it to move to Florida. Then you can swim there. I was there for 2 months and I got kicked off the team.
Oh.
Which is really bizarre for me because I get along with just about everyone. I'm really easygoing. So for me to not mesh with a coach.
Oh, that's what happened?
Yeah. Oh. It was. It's weird for me to talk about because it was just a personality difference, uh-huh. I think, between the coach and I. But to have someone be part of a journey like going to the Paralympics, it's huge. And you want more than a coach. You want a partner, someone that you can really trust to take with you. And I noticed I didn't have that with my coach in Florida. Then with a friend of mine, I spent Thanksgiving with her, and she told me about her coach in Baltimore.
Oh, so you went for the coach.
Yeah, I went for the coach. Mm-hmm. And then also the club team I was with in Florida, I was swimming with a bunch of kids 12 years old.
Mm.
So it was a weird thing for me where I would go to swim practice, and I would feel like I was little.
Mm-hmm.
But then I would go back to my apartment mm-hmm. and try to act older than I was. And so it was really hard for me to balance that. And the coach in Baltimore, he's a college coach at Loyola University, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really excited, like, that'd be a great opportunity to swim with some Paralympic athletes and a Paralympic coach and a college team.
And there were enough people there to be in a Paralympic club.
Right. There was 6 Paralympic athletes, which is a lot for mm-hmm. Paralympic athletes. Like, you have 6 people go into one pool with a disability. I hope that it grows where that's a common thing.
Oh, but sure, because so people are encouraged not to be kept behind by a
right.
Yeah, sure.
Right, so it was cool to be part of something that
right.
is really awesome. So I moved back to Indiana for 2 months, and then kind of on a whim, I moved to Baltimore with a teammate of mine, but I've never really met him.
Mm-hmm.
I moved into his house with 3 other guys. So it was me living in a house with 4 guys, all late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bizarre situation, but it was my favorite situation. Those are my favorite people in my life.
Oh, that is so nice. Look at that beautiful smile. And this is why I wish it were a TV moment so people could see the smile on your face. I have a question, though, I have a couple of questions about letters. So you have taken a very important place in life, in the world of, as an athlete, in the world of swimming, in the world of Paralympics, and in the world of disability. You've done a lot. And letters you write are going to have historical importance.
I guess that's true.
In like 50 years, somebody finds a letter from you as a champion in the Paralympics. That's going to be part, you know, a documented part of history in your handwriting. I think that's important. And when we find letters in 50 years and 100 years, then we've got a treasure in true history.
I guess that's a little daunting to think about because I'm...
Don't think about it then. Just
okay.
write them.
Okay.
No, go ahead. Think about it. Yes. It is the truth.
It is. I think right now I'm trying so hard to grow and develop myself that it's hard to look forward and thinking that I'll leave a mark one day.
Oh, right. And, you know, I tend to look at that from where I sit. Doesn't mean you have to, but I'm just telling you what the results so mm-hmm. often are. People find letters 50, 100 years after someone's gone, and it's a treasure because look what we can learn about this time. Yes. This is from one of our champion athletes. She has left a trail of history in her own handwriting. It's gold. Anyway, I was thinking also about the coach that kicked you off the team.
Yes.
Sometimes a love letter to the very person who did something like that, it feels so good to write a letter to say, I just want to thank you for the 2 months I had with you and for letting me go.
That's
because
true,
that's like what your brother would do, the bad thing, and then the mm-hmm. flowchart that came from it.
That would be an interesting
love
letter. All
the good that came from that painful moment.
And that also goes kind of back to presenting me with opportunity. That wasn't an ideal opportunity by no means, but I'm so happy that it happened, and I wouldn't change a thing.
And would that be nice for him to hear that from you?
I think it would, yeah.
I bet it would. Oh, do you know where he is?
I'm assuming he's still in Florida.
Oh, you could find out.
That's yeah, I could find out.
Those kind of love letters of gratitude, even for the negative, you know, sometimes we learn, sometimes, even in personal lives, you know, sometimes we learn how to behave well by seeing examples of bad, mm-hmm. you know, from parents or siblings or friends. You know, you say, oh, I'm never going to do that. And that person gets a little love letter saying, not referring to what stunts they are, because that's not a love letter, but a letter saying, I want to thank you for what I learned from you and how it led me to be this kind of person.
Yeah, I think that'd be a really good love letter. And that would also...
Keep copies.
And I'm sure he's not aware that that did make such a big impact on me.
And it might have been painful for him also.
It might have been. I guess writing to him is the only way to put that out there.
Yes. Oh, that would be fabulous. So you could do, I mean, love letters isn't just a one-shot deal. It is kind of a way of life if people choose it. So, you know, one to Mickey and one to this coach and one to your coach that you loved and teammates. And, I mean, you could do one letter every, I don't know, you could do one a month. You could do one every 2 months. Just sit down and drop a letter to somebody.
I could do that, yeah.
And keep a copy. And you will have... You're such an important part of your own history.
That's
something you'll find it someday.
Yeah, that's true. And it'll also, even if they don't find it, that's a great reminder to myself.
Exactly. But people do find it. You know, they find them. I mean, if you ever plan on having children, or nieces and nephews, or let a stranger find it in some old box, it's always a treat.
That is a treat, yeah. A powerful thing to do.
Yes. Oh, will you consider doing those?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. I want to thank you for doing this with me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I'm so glad we met and that I got to know more about you than just my kid sister's a swimmer. This is wonderful. Thank you, dear. Well, until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you soon.